Hey, this is Matt Blake from the SoCal Sound production team. We thank you for listening to the SoCal Sound and appreciate you checking out this interview. These interviews are listener supported, so please consider becoming a subscribing member. Your contribution helps keep us filming live sessions and recording interviews like the one you're about to hear. Just click subscribe now on the SoCalSound.org homepage and make sure to credit live sessions in the drop-down menu. Thanks again, and enjoy another SoCal Sound interview.
Hey, I'm Andy Chanley from 88.5 The SoCal Sound, and this is the SoCal Sound interview with Jack Antonoff. There he is right there. Hi, Jack.
How are you, Andy?
I'm great. It's good to meet you for the first time.
Yeah, really nice to meet you.
I want to get the important stuff out of the way. First of all, you know Jack is a founder of the band Fun, of course, current leader of the band Bleachers, producer extraordinaire. And the new stuff is the single Modern Girl, which you're hearing multiple times a day on 88.5 The SoCal Sound. And the new album is called Bleachers. You ran out of ideas? It's just called Bleachers?
No, it was going to be called Tribute Living. And then I actually started to write for the first time in my life, kind of outside of the lens of grief. And it made me feel like planting a new flag. And it felt self-titled, which is kind of like, it's a very bold statement. When I first had the idea, I was like, oh no, this is too bold to call it that. Then I realized it just was that.
Nice. Well, it comes out March 8th, and you can pre-order CD, vinyl, or cassette at bleachersmusic.com. Now, I know vinyl outsells CDs now, but tell me about the market for cassettes.
Do you? There is one.
I haven't had a cassette player in 20 years.
They're just cool. And I think that I just like laughing in the face of any sort of like capitalist movement that tells you something's over. Because look what happened with vinyl. It's just like imagine I told you 20 years ago that in 2023 they'd sell more vinyl than the 70s. The whole thing is so annoying, and you realize that so often, like, a lot of the narrative of the world is being made by people who are just trying to make money off of something else. And so I love making, you know, I also we're not going to make 100,000 cassettes, but if there's a few thousand people out there that want them, then that's awesome. And so they can be special things that live in people's homes.
Everyone watching this, I want you to harangue Jack to put stuff out on Laserdisc.
Laserdisc, reel to reel. What about a track?
Sure.
Yeah, I'll go. I like things, and I like things being around, and I feel that the things that mean the most to us we enjoy them in physical form.
Yeah, the tactile experience.
Yeah.
You're announcing a U.S. tour soon. Tell me about that.
Yeah, there's going to be a few legs and tours on this album, but this is the first one, and it goes mostly around the country. But like all tours, once you announce them, it's often a chorus of the places you didn't go, wondering why you hate this town or that town.
Why do you hate Poughkeepsie?
Exactly.
Speaking of towns and areas, I'm sure you're going to be playing near your stomping grounds, New Jersey. This new album, or at least the new single, and a lot of Bleachers music lately, sounds to me distinctly New Jersey.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's the saxophone, the chorus of voices, or what exactly it is, the party atmosphere that's on some of the recordings. But it sounds to me like music that couldn't originate from anywhere else.
No, I always feel the music comes from a very specific place. And you kind of have, there's everything you're talking about. There's the way you play and whatnot. But this sense of where you're reporting from, I really like stamping myself and the band of here's where we're reporting from. If you want to imagine us here, because that's where we are. And then all these different landscapes have these characteristics that are so fun to carry the torch of. New Jersey's fun because it's coastal, so you have horns, but then you have this like Great Hope as it's outside of New York City, so it's not the place. It wants to be the place, but it isn't.
And so you have this get me out of here hope, but then you also have this joy of what it is. And you realize that, you know, being right outside the thing is actually way cooler than being the thing, you know, unlike New York City music, which I love, but has this like boredom, right? This seen it all nature. You think about the Velvet Underground and the Strokes and whatnot, this sort of here we are at the center of it all. I'm practically Parisian point of view. And so I just, that's who I am. And, you know, I don't sit around trying to inject that, but I welcome it when it comes.
I know that you sit through interview after interview, you know, when you have a new project out where people just list back to you all the things that you've done, but
you're going to do it.
I'm going to do it. Yeah.
It's not a bad thing.
I'm sure you hate people.
No, it's a nice reminder. I think sometimes in interview, you know, I don't really sit around talking about my career. I'm just making things. So interviews are often these interesting experiences where you are like, oh wow, that was cool. You know, you get to look sort of back and forward in a funny way.
Well, everybody knows this watching, but you know, you produced or you created with Lana Del Rey and Taylor Swift and Florence and the Machine and Diana Ross and so forth of the Chicks. To a large degree, and this is follows a question. I was talking to Dan Wilson, songwriter.
He's the best.
And he's so much fun to be around.
I've been in two writing sessions with him, and he's just, you know, one of the greatest to ever do it.
I was asking him about something that applies to you in spades, that your acumen as a producer gets people to come around in the first place. But on some level, you've got to be an enjoyable hang. You've got to be, you know, decently fun to be around. I guess my question is, what makes Jack Antonoff such a joy to know?
Oh, I'm the last person who can answer that. I've always understood myself to be a pretty big troll. So I don't know. But I have a lot of fun when we're in the studio. I can't speak for anyone else, but it's often a place where, I mean, I guess I'll give you one serious answer to that question. I do have a belief that the studio is a sacred place. And if you're not having a good time, if you're not feeling it, if you're not feeling yourself, don't be there. So I'm the opposite of any of these people that are just sort of like go all night, grind it out, go, go, go. You know, I think that, you know, if it's not happening, it's not happening. And I don't believe that everyone needs to be making things all the time, which is a little bit dissonant to how cultural it is right now. You know, I think it's nice to make things when you feel like making things. I've felt like making things the past few years, and it's been reflected in the amount of albums that have come out. But yeah, so maybe there can be a lightness to that, to just saying like, you know, if it's not happening, it's not happening.
Right.
I like to keep it a happy, enjoyable place also, because 9 out of 10 times the shit we're writing about can be so heavy that it feels a little bit indulgent or redundant to not also just have a fun time in there.
Right. I think the result is that you end up with a Rolodex where you call people up and they say, yeah, like I'm watching you on Saturday Night Live. I can't believe it's been almost 2 years ago now. I thought it was.
The I know. Of this. Same. So it's past year was like really weird.
But I'm watching the performance. I'm like, is that Blue the Tiger playing bass? Is that Claude in there? It's like people like to assemble around you. You draw a pretty talented.
Yeah, Blue and Claude we call Bleacher's cousins because they kind of float in and out. But I like that. You know, music's writing is so solitary that probably as a kid when I first started touring, but I've always seen it as this community thing. I like having these small communities. I like these characters that pop up and, you know, I kind of have a small little scene around me. And if you believe in that, then it's a little bit like your own gang or whatnot.
Yeah. Let's talk Grammys. You won this year, Producer of the Year. You won last year, Producer of the Year. And you're up for Producer of the Year again in February. Why are you so selfish?
I guess I was born that way. I think my
Do you have a tiny worry? This is a serious question. Do you have a tiny worry in the back of your mind that at some point, once you get enough accolades or you know, affirmation of the work that you've done that you might start to get lazy, or it might sap your creative spirit? Or is it just always that stuff that you don't even think much about and just you move forward?
Well, they're just separate. They're not the goal. You know, when you're in the studio and you're on tour and you're writing and recording and you're, you know, doing what I do every day of my life, you're not thinking about awards. You're thinking about such a humbling place. You're trying to do something that can be so evasive. You know, you're trying to capture a feeling, and it's a funny job because you can't just do it. I could sit here and write a song, but it might be missing that most important element. I kind of have to wait for it to hit me. And so I think if you're, and same thing with touring, this community experience, bringing people together, making something that's bigger than the sum of its parts. If you're really in touch with those things, which I am every day, then I think it's pretty hard to imagine that a sales number or an award would have any role in that room. It just doesn't. So it's more these separate things that can be really cool and feel like a nice thumbs up or whatnot. But the room is like, you know, it's like church. You're thinking about something way bigger.
You got enough of them to be doorstops in just about every room of the house at this point. Been a pretty good year. You produced for Lana Del Rey's Do You Know There's a Tunnel Under Ocean Boulevard, 1975's album, Being Funny in a Foreign Language, Taylor Swift's Midnights. I mean, that's a
cool. Yeah, I was really proud of this year because it felt like those three albums for me represented very different things that all meant a lot to me. And specifically with Lana and Taylor, those are long relationships where it's very against a lot of cultural opinions right now, where it's more just like pivot, 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 but just these drilling deeper and deeper into these long relationships, we've been able to access way more interesting work than I just really believe in that, in this furthering of relationships. So those two specifically, when I look back at that list, are really encouraging for me.
It's really crazy because, you know, Taylor Swift, this is arena filling music. These are, you know, bangers that you can play in an arena, some of them. And then Lana Del Rey's music is something like, as you say, that it exists where it exists, and it doesn't care if you come to it or not, but yeah. You know, by God, people come to it and they seek it out.
Yeah, they're very different. It's funny. I've thought about them in comparison a lot this year, just because of the kind of stuff we've been talking about. And they ask very different things of you. But then at the end of the day, they kind of do a similar thing, which is they bring people together. And I always think that's funny with music. And it also just goes to show you can never know what's going to grab people and how it's going to grab people. It's just a bit more your job to make it and then deliver it.
And as if the year couldn't get any bigger for you, you got married this summer.
Yeah, that was the best part.
That's fantastic. you marry Margaret Qualley, who's amazing, amazing actress.
The best.
You've seen her in Maid and a number of other things. That's fantastic. So just to sum up here, accomplished musician, established songwriter, celebrated performer.
Married?
Award-winning producer. what outwardly appears like a storybook home life. I'm going to put you on the spot.
Yeah.
I wonder if just for us schlubs, if you can make us feel better and name one thing that you're not, that you fail at, that you're not.
All I do is every day I just wake up and fail. I just go to that. You guys only get to see the good stuff. You see the stuff that makes the cut. Yeah, I don't. It's very nice to hear everything you just said. But at the end of the day, I think I really like being in a space where there's a lot of hope and prayer to get where you want to get, and not a lot of ego. That's why the studio is such a special place for me. It's because there's really no room for ego, because it just doesn't play. No one's ego makes a good album. No one's ego makes a good song. It's this sort of long, intense, interesting process. So I don't know. I stay there. So I guess I feel tons of conflict in my life.
It looks easy.
But you're making me feel good.
Easy from a distance.
Yeah, but you're making me feel very like I've done something right.
Well, last question. What's left? We know that there's a tour coming. We know the new album in a couple of months. Is there anything else that we might not expect that you're working on? Like maybe, you know, more music for film or TV or for the stage?
Yeah, lots of stuff. And I never talk about it because I always want the music to lead. I don't like filling people's heads with any thoughts besides the music first. But yeah, so yes.
Yeah, you'll be busy
yes.
in the new year. Well, it's so good to meet you.
Yeah, lovely to chat. And come hang when we're in California.
That sounds great. I wish
would love you
come
to show.
All the best and all the success with the new album. Once again, it comes out March 8th. You can pre-order now at bleachersmusic.com. Jack Antonoff, everybody.
Thank you so much.
The SoCal Sound. My pleasure.
Lovely to talk with you, Andy. Take care.